This is the 5 o'clock report, 20 minutes of uninterrupted news, commercial free. I'm Jeff Kaplan. KSL's top story, breaking news on KSL News Radio. Gubernatorial candidate Phil Lyman's pick for lieutenant governor has been found ineligible to run for office. The decision from Judge Bates in court just moments ago. KSL News Radio's Heather Peterson has been at the hearing all afternoon. Here she walks us through today's arguments.
Bangetter's attorney claimed it was election interference because the colleagues of opposing candidate Deidre Henderson were the ones who rejected Bangetter's declaration of candidacy. But the district attorney's office argued that the elections department is an unbiased third party that would have been derelict of duty knowingly accepting the application of someone they knew was ineligible based on Utah's residency requirements. The law states a candidate must be a resident of Utah for 5 years next preceding the election, and while Bangetter spent 30-plus years here a long time ago, he only moved back from Idaho in 2021.
Lane Bangetter was found not eligible to be on the ballot because he hasn't lived in Utah for the 5 years immediately preceding the election. KSL legal analyst Greg Skordis says the judge made his ruling because the language in the state constitution is clear.
That in order to be a candidate for lieutenant governor or the governor's position, the candidate must have lived in the state of Utah for the 5 years preceding the time that they file for office. And the judge has decided that means immediately preceding, as opposed to Lyman's interpretation was at any point in your life did you live in the state of Utah for 5 years preceding the election. It's the end of it in terms of this judge. So what this judge has decided is that Lyman asked for a restraining order. That is that the lieutenant governor has to put his lieutenant governor on the ballot. And this judge has said, you don't have to put him on the ballot because he's not qualified.
Phil Lyman is still running for governor. He just needs to find a new running mate. He could, of course, file an appeal to the Utah Supreme Court. At the Chad Daybell trial, an FBI agent was on the stand today, walking the jury through the discovery of Tylee Ryan's body in the backyard. KSL News Radio's Amy Kobabe is live outside the courthouse in Boise. Amy.
Jeff, there was a dramatic moment when FBI Special Agent Steve Daniels held up a pick and a shovel and showed them to the jury. He said they found those in the garage and they were likely used to bury Tylee. He also held up a chain necklace and a charm, saying they found these in and around a fire pit in the yard. And then a photo of Tylee wearing that exact necklace and charm were shown. Several photos were not shown to the public of Tylee's burial site, but the FBI agent did describe those that were shown to the jury, and Chad only glanced at his screen. One of the members of the jury continually shook her head. Reporting live in Boise, Amy Kobabe, KSL News Radio.
In a different case, their daughter is dead, and they are frustrated with the judge. The family of University of Idaho student Kaylee Goncalves has released a statement complaining about the case against Brian Koberger. They say it's become a hamster wheel of motions and delayed decisions. They're demanding the judge get tough and get on with it. There's still no date set for the quadruple murder trial. KSL News Time 5:03. Our top national story this hour, longtime Trump aide Hope Hicks was on the stand at the Trump hush money trial today.
I'm not sure he's closed his eyes once when Hope Hicks has been on the witness stand. As she described it, they were together all the time. She was one of his most loyal aides. When she walked into the courtroom, she did not appear to look at Trump, but his gaze certainly followed her to the witness stand. And right off the bat, she told prosecutors that she has not communicated with Trump since 2022.
ABC News correspondent Aaron Katursky outside the courthouse. Hicks testified about the Access Hollywood tape, saying that Trump just considered it the way guys talk. Cinco de Mayo is coming Sunday. It is shrouded with misconception, thanks to years of commercialization. KSL News Radio's Eric Cabrera asked Utah's Latin community how they feel about it.
Let's start with the fact that no, it's not Mexican Independence Day. That's in September. I ran into Andrew Velasco inside Latino Mall on the west side of Salt Lake, who shared the sentiment many in his community do, that it's become a manufactured party holiday like St. Patrick's. But Velasco also sees it as a way to bring people into their culture.
While that's not something people of Mexican descent may necessarily do, it does create the discourse for larger conversation around understanding a culture you don't really understand.
The city of Puebla still hosts a parade and reenactment of their victory against the French army, the true origin of Cinco de Mayo. Eric Cabrera, KSL News Radio.
KSL News Time, 5:05. First look traffic on the 5 o'clock report. Here's Ricky Meese.
The heavier delays of I-15 in Utah County are on the northbound side tonight, and they go from University Parkway all the way up to 5th East American Fork. We've also had an accident reported at the exit ramp of I-15 at SR 92 Temp Highway out of traffic. And if you're still making your way southbound I-15 in Weber County, it's still bogged down and slow. Those delays start prior to 31st Street and continue to Sunset. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Thanks, Ricky.